From the mayor's office, talking now with Gloucester Mayor Greg Verga, I'm Rick Moore, MSO News Sports. Mr. Mayor, good morning and welcome back to MSO.
Hey, good morning, Rick. It's great to be back.
You know, sometimes it's not smooth sailing in the corner office, as they say, at City Hall. And an interesting event took place, I believe, yesterday. I was talking to a friend of mine who asked me if I had gotten a late tax notification on my property taxes, and I said no. As far as I know, we're all paid up. And he recounted to me that he got a late notice, and come to find out, there were several of those sent out, and so it was a little bit of an uproar at City Hall yesterday.
Yes, there was. So we use a vendor, like I think most, if not all, of the cities and towns in the Commonwealth to handle our tax bills. And in February, we were informed that there was, or someone discovered there was an error, and they had failed to mail out a number of them. And so fast forward to today, Monday, the first business day since these demand letters went out. So the people who didn't get the email, didn't get their tax notice and didn't pay their taxes because they never got the notice to remind them, got the demand notice over the weekend, which made it even worse. I spoke to someone on Sunday who had gotten it Saturday, which is very frustrating for her that, you know, you have to wait Saturday and Sunday before you can come in and, you know, air your grievances to the collector's window. Mm-hmm. And airing of grievances happened yesterday quite a bit. So that's the bad news, that the vendor we had had an error. The good news is anybody who had first and foremost, those pink demand notices, don't worry about. It's not a problem. But any late fees or interest charges will be reversed. So all is well, except for the shock that people had opening those pink notices. So, and we will be looking at other vendors.
Yeah. Well, oh, good. Because I was going to say, there's a couple of things here, and I know that this isn't local, and that's what's disturbing. It's sort of out of people's hands. How long? Some people may not have even opened their mail yet. How long do residents have to pay the so-called delinquent tax bill, which really isn't delinquent? But how much? What's the timeline for them to repay?
Well, I would suggest the sooner the better, just to have it taken care of. But you know, it's not the taxpayer's fault. So we will make them whole with the interest any other penalties.
Okay, yeah, and I'm glad you're checking in vendor-wise, because it's interesting to me that the software that vendors use will indicate delinquents, and yet they won't indicate that you haven't even sent out the bill yet. So keep us informed on that, Mr. Mayor, when things change, will you please?
Sure.
All right. Next up, another headache for city officials in several communities, the strike going on with Republic. So what's the update on that?
Okay, well, the latest is there's no change. As far as I understand, the Republic and the Teamsters have not spoken in the same room since July 18th. We're now August 5th. The mayors, town managers, and town administrators of the 14 affected communities continue to meet. We actually have a meeting today, a virtual meeting, to discuss what's going on, compare notes. And in each of those meetings, after we have a discussion, we bring in officials from Republic to get the latest and greatest information, which unfortunately hasn't changed since we've started this whole process. Well, that's kind of unfair to say. They have improved in their pickups, you know, throughout the 14 communities, and some of the communities have started to get recycling pickup. Gloucester, as you know, is not one of those. So we still have Monday through Friday the regular trash pickup, if trash only. If people, if their properties are missed, you know, we ask that they wait till 5 o'clock that day, and then if there's no pickup, to contact, go through C-Click Fix, let the DPW know that there was no pickup, and we'll have Republic or somebody else, our own people out there, to pick up the following day. As far as recycling, there has been no indication from Republic that they will be doing any curbside recycling pickup here in Gloucester. So we maintain the temporary drop-off site at the DPW yard Monday through Friday, and for the last three Saturdays, we've had hours there. So we will keep people posted. I've been doing the all calls and the text and emails, letting people know on Fridays what to do on Saturday, and then following up on Sunday with how things are playing for the following week. So if people have not signed up for that, if they go to Gloucester-MA.gov on that homepage of the city's website, if they scroll down, they'll see eight blue boxes. In the lower right corner is one that says sign up for updates. And that way they'll be sure to not miss out on any of the trash-related updates. And then when winter rolls around, they'll know about parking ban updates. So we have another meeting with the other town and city officials later today and Republic, and maybe they'll come in and say, hey, we made a deal, but I'm not holding my breath. So we, the city of Gloucester, are doing all right, as far as trash goes. The recycling situation is not ideal, but it seems to be working. We do urge people to, if they have neighbors who don't have a vehicle big enough or they don't have transportation at all, certainly if you have a pickup truck, please feel free to grab your neighbor's recycling and drop it off too. But it's the overall support, I'll be very, very honest, the support from the public has just been growing, and the appreciation of our DPW workers as well. And they are all doing a great job down there. And we appreciate the people's patience and understanding, because this is not fun. We are not at the table with Republican Teamsters, but we are urging them every day to get back to the table and make a deal.
I would reinforce what you said about the DPW, Mr. Mayor. I've been there 3 times now, 3 weeks in a row. And for me, I think I pointed out to you at one point, for me, it's a minor inconvenience. I know that may not be the case for some individual, but for me, it's a very minor inconvenience when you consider back in the day when we had to take our trash to the dump and have your car weighed and you pay as you go. And not only trash, but just everything. So I second what you said about the DPW workers. They have been fantastic. I was in line on Friday. There were a dozen cars ahead of me, and I was in and out of there within 7 minutes. And again, the DPW workers there, all very polite, all very helpful. And I think that should never be taken for granted, because they still have their regular jobs to do. So it's quite a load that they've been asked to handle.
Right, and I'll just add one more thing about the recycling and the trash situation, because there have been people asking, usually on Facebook, about why don't we just cancel the contract and get somebody else. Well, according to the terms of the contract, we probably do have grounds to say we're canceling this contract. But as far as finding another vendor on short notice, it's unlikely, because the typical process is when your contract is winding down, like ours will be next September 2026, several months before that, we'll put out the request for proposals, an RFP, and seek bids from companies to take our trash. But the likelihood of just saying, Republic, you're done, and getting, ABC trash haulers to come in the following day is going to be a very difficult thing to do, especially when you have 14 communities who are going to be in the same boat. So, like I said, we're keeping our heads above water. We have relatively good terms on this contract. We currently do not pay for recycling, pickup, and drop-off, tipping. On the next contract, we definitely will be. That's going to be a huge increase, which is one of the reasons increased the purple bag charge, because the city already subsidizes the trash service in the for residents to the tune of $1 million from the general fund. That's above and beyond what we generate from the sales of the purple bags. So raising the prices of the purple bags will kind of keep us in the same ratio of about $1 million based on what we think the next contract is going to cost us. So we're not getting down to zero by any means in terms of the purple bags fully funding the service, but we're closer to it. And as far as my personal feeling, I do think that this is the fairest way to go. Instead of having, people say, why don't we just get barrels, big bins. People pay us a flat fee for the pickup of the bins, say $300 a year. But if a household like mine that puts out one bag every couple, 3 weeks, it's more expensive for me than it is for somebody who's putting out six or seven bags every week. So I think pay-as-you-throw is the most democratic, with a small d, way to go on this process. But I'm always open to suggestions from people. And when we do the next contract, we're going to be looking at all different variations of what we can do.
Okay, good information. All right, let's turn our attention to a recent notice that you've got published, and it has to do with the comprehensive plan. Bring us up to speed on that, please.
Sure. So when I was first running for office, you know, I had suggested that it's time to update our master plan, which was called Plan 2000. And as you can see, Plan 2000 is 25 years old. So, you know, a lot has changed technologically over the past quarter century. So that was one of my goals when I got in office, was to get this comp plan, which what we named it, Comprehensive Planning Initiative, which is now a blueprint. It was planned to be a blueprint for us for the next 5 or 10 years, because a 25-year blueprint doesn't make any sense because it's constantly changing all the variables. So we now have this approved. It's gone through the planning board, which is the body that does have the role in approving the plan. It went through the city council for a quick presentation, and we're ready to go. You know, it takes care of things, addresses things. And this is based on about 4,000 touch points, people who either filled out a survey, attended a meeting or a workshop or other events. And their input has created this look for the next 10 years that's looking at upgrading our infrastructure, things like roads, water, sewer, schools, rec facilities, expanding housing options. That's going to be a big one for all of us, because we have our demographics are changing. We have an aging population. Our income levels are all over the place in the city. And we're going to be supporting economic growth. And we have a marine economy, which will be our next discussion item about the harbor plan. And we need to work on attracting innovation-driven industries to Gloucester. And then, of course, we want to create safer, healthier connections with our neighborhoods, walkability, bikeability, and investing in public health. So that's kind of the very short Reader's Digest version of what this plan is. It's available on the city website. If they go to the site I just mentioned, which you'll probably put the link in the post, and just in the search bar, just do comprehensive plan, and they can click right into it, as they can to do for the Harbor Plan, which we'll talk about, and pretty much anything else that they're interested in is posted on the website.
Yeah, your communications director, Pam Toby, has sent me the links, and I'm definitely posting that on the post with this interview. So I'll definitely get that up there, which brings us to the next item of business, and that is the Municipal Harbor Plan.
Sure. Well, let me just back up one, because I failed to mention something about the Comprehensive Plan. So one of the things that people always this joke that I heard, you know, what is a consultant plan worth, and the punchline is about $100,000 an inch, you know, and what people typically do, cities and towns, is they spend lots of money on plans and then stick them on the shelf and ignore them. In the case of the comprehensive plan, we're assembling an implementation committee, you know, which is community members, city staff, and representatives from boards, commissions, and their job is going to be making sure that we have a meaningful and transparent process to keep this plan on the front burner in an ongoing fashion for the next decade or beyond, because there's no sense in spending all this time and investment in money and people's valuable time to just ignore it or just sort of, you know, peruse it once in a while. So this committee is going to be key to making sure that thing actually moves along. And then to segue to the harbor plan, so I was on the harbor planning committee in 2014, the last approved plan, and I was a city council member. This new one that was just approved by the state was started before I became mayor. So this has been a long process. I've been here almost 4 years, and now we're ready to go. And the harbor plan, so we have, you know, it's some people know we have a designated port area, which is the downtown Roger Street area where I-4C2 and the Building Center are, up to the Gloucester House and partially into the fort, which limits what can be done in those areas. Then, of course, we have our own marine industrial zoning that also limits what can be built there and what businesses can operate out of there. So the plan is really important. It's also a requirement by the Commonwealth that we do it. But, you know, some of the key things out of there is looking at advancing the infrastructure improvements and planning for resiliency. As you know, no matter how you think, what your thoughts are on global warming or climate change, it's happening. Whether you think it's man-made or if it's natural, it's happening. So we need to be ready with our planning for resiliency for some of our waterfront properties. Then we have to look at supporting the growth of the marine industries and harbor-based businesses. You know, it's our identity. This is the reason my grandfather came here in 1912 was to fish. You know, that's why a lot of families can trace their origins to. So it's part of our identity, that the fishing heritage and the related businesses, and we need to make sure we can support and grow them. And then we need public and private investment in all of the underutilized waterfront properties. Because the big thing is here is, you know, what's Gloucester's role and the North Shore's role in the blue economy. And this harbor plan is going to help us to achieve that. And so I urge people to read that, too. It's a lot of pages and, you know, a lot of jargon they may not understand. But it's an important document for our city as we move forward.
Okay, finally, Mr. Mayor, we're headed into the second half of summer. It's been a very eventful summer for residents and visitors alike in Gloucester and Cape Ann. What's left?
Okay, and I have to do what I did in between the last two segments. I forgot to mention another thing, which is a key for both the Harbor Plan and the Comprehensive Plan, is we currently have posted the position for a economic development coordinator. We had an economic development director, and that position has not been filled for about a year, over a year, maybe 2 years. So this is that position being refilled is going to be key for these two documents, as well as, you know, helping out in our industrial parks and just in our businesses downtown and throughout the city. So that being said, moving on, summer is upon us, about halfway through, and we've got a lot going on. The Culture Splash, which happens on Thursdays throughout the summer, is to connect the two districts, the downtown district and the Rocky Neck cultural districts, that is. And so you can get the shuttle across the water to go visit, go back and forth. But there's a lot of other things going on Thursday nights. There's a lot of free music this summer in Gloucester. Thursday nights, the Harbor Loop Concerts is the Harbor Loop Concert Series as part of Culture Splash. And then on Fridays, you can go over to the Meeting House Green over at the Universalist Church and hear free music. Then, of course, the great Dave Benjamin and his work over at the bandstand at Stage 4 Park on Sundays for some additional great music. So in addition to that, there's live music at clubs throughout the city, be it the Cut or the Rum Line, most nights. So there's a lot of stuff you can do for very little money, and then a lot of stuff in public spaces that you can do for zero money. So I urge people to check it all out, Google the stuff, you know, check on Facebook, and you can keep your summer nights very entertaining with some very talented musicians.
All right, that's Gloucester Mayor Greg Verga with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.